To Sandusky First United Methodist Church for this Sunday, September 3rd, of holiday weekend for our Labor Day. We're thankful that everyone's able to be here today. And as we kind of look around and see some of our folks who either we know are traveling or some that we normally have here that aren't here today, let's just have a kind of a moment that we can have some prayer for them for safe travels or for us that are enjoying family time. I wanted to separate that a little bit during the welcome and understand that the holidays, especially the long extended weekends, are great opportunities where we see and spend time with our loved ones, friends and family alike. And we really have to cherish those moments. And so on behalf of the church, that we together as a church family, hope that we all find blessing in those opportunities to spend time with those that we love this weekend. Bobby, we're going to have you start some things off for us before we begin, because it's important for us to know how we can continue to be a welcoming, inviting church.
Okay, I'm part of the discipleship meetings that have been going on. And part of being a disciple is going out in the community, giving our word, and encouraging people. So what I did is I put together these little bags, and inside of them are an array of cards. There's sympathy cards, birthday cards. Thank you, Vanna. And just different ones. I can't know everyone who's ill, everyone who has a problem, so I need your help. So I'm going to put these in the back under the table. Feel free to take them and use them, please. Send them out to people that you miss in the congregation, their birthdays, whatever their needs are. And your friends, encourage them. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby, for responding that way. And again, so we'll see the neon green bright bag in the back. So no, everybody will be able to find it back there. And Bobby, if anyone has any maybe some extra cards or they wanted to participate in that, what do they do if they wanted to bring any in? Do they see anybody? They put them in any special place? Or what happens if somebody wants to? All right. So we're empowered to do those things and encouraged to take some initiative in that card ministry. We're thankful for that. Do we have any prayer concerns that we want to share with each other before we begin our service? It's so important for us to lift each other up and have the opportunity to undertake for one another. Porchelle?
Hello. Actually, on the drive here, I got a phone call from my cousin. And my grandfather in Alabama is not doing well, and he's being moved to life support, and family's flying down there to say their goodbyes. So his name is Ray Young.
Is it Bray?
Ray.
Ray.
So if everyone can keep him in your prayers, and yeah.
Thank you, Porchelle, for sharing that, especially when it gets us right before service. That's why we need to share that and be able to share that burden with each other. Let us put on our hearts to pray for your grandpa.
Okay, it's me again. my brother-in-law is in Texas, and he is part of Christian Builders. He is now putting together a major team out of Dallas to go to the Houston area. So we really need to lift him up in prayer, and that God bless Texas.
And his first name again?
Al.
I'd like prayers for my brother Bob. He's having a heart cath on Wednesday.
Is it your brother? On Wednesday? Okay, yes. Anyone else?
I have a dear friend, Mick Lee. He's not associated with this church, but he and his family all need prayers.
Okay, and what was the name again?
Mick Lee.
Mick Lee? Yes, absolutely. Well, we definitely don't have to have a membership card for us to be able to undertake in prayer, so thank you for sharing that with us and allowing us to undertake for them. Anyone else? No? Do we have any Thanksgivings or joys that we'd like to share? Okay. What about any announcements? Linda's over here. She got an announcement?
Just a reminder that we're planning to start choir with our rehearsal, first rehearsal this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock downstairs in the choir room. If you've not been a part of a choir before but like to sing, join us. We'd like to see anybody who likes to share and music and word to join us with choir. So thank you.
So again, if nobody, it's a welcome back, but if nobody's done it before, there will be people there with kind faces that will show them
Certainly.
Where to stand and how to go about things.
And if you haven't ever sung parts and you have a low voice and can't sing soprano, just sing melody of octave lower. It will all work out. It's all good. If you like to sing, we like people who like to sing. And give us a try. It'll be fun. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Excellent. Great group of folks there, too, that will be able to have some great time of fellowship. Anyone else? Was that a hand for us? Oh, okay. Oh, no. Anybody else got an announcement? Okay, what about any birthdays today? Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating today? This holiday weekend? Anybody else? I have a birthday. Do you have a birthday? Okay. You were asked to remind. Okay. Hey, so kind of a prayer request and celebration there in one moment, huh? Yeah, Suzanne, it's today, right? Yeah, because we share a good day, that's right. So anybody else with... She doesn't bring her Tupperware, she brings the pan, so go ahead and fill her on up. And anybody else today, a birthday this week? Let's go ahead and sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. There it is, cha-cha-cha, amen, right? That's a youthful amen I heard there translated in a different language sometimes, right? Do we have any anniversaries that we're celebrating this week? Anybody get married on holiday? Darlene? Yeah, when is your anniversary? Tuesday. Are you celebrating too, George? She'll tell you. She'll let you know. How many years have you guys been married? Huh? 30. Oh. All right. Fantastic. 30. That's a big one. So that's going to be on Tuesday, right? Anybody else sharing a anniversary with the Rosses this week? Hey, all right.
Happy birthday,
never to him.
Hey, there it is. I was waiting for it. I dialed up to see if we could do that. So, you know, it's thankful. And again, those moments when we have the cha-cha-chas and smiles. Again, this is us living life together. This is us celebrating those big moments in our lives, right? And it's such a great thing to be able to share that with each other on a worship Sunday. So thank you for letting us share that time with you and sing those songs. At this moment, before we start, I think we had one more. Did we have one more announcement? Was that it? No? Okay, well, let's go ahead and begin, and we'll ask you to stand if you're able, and we'll sing together. We have a story to tell the nations. As you stand up for number 569, can we prepare ourselves to understand that on this day, we have, before any other day, a story to tell, a story to share, and it's worth sharing and worth receiving. So 569, we have a story to tell the nations. please stay standing if you're able and join me for our opening prayer for asking the Lord's blessing on our gathering together today. Almighty God, author of all creation, giver of unending mercy, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us, that you have made, and for the breath of life that is in us, Lord. And it is our great hope because we know the saving grace you brought to our life and the hope that you give us that can never be quenched, that the truth of your love, the truth of your son's sacrifice, the truth that God is love would fall fresh from our lips to this world, this community, and the houses in which we live in. Lord, we'd ask that your Holy Spirit descend upon us and fill us so our cup is overflowing with our abundant blessing, and that we would turn around and give you all praise and all glory for it in our lives. Lord, would you be glorified in all that we say and do and that's lifted up here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And as you find your seats, we will sing this song, and it's called In the Garden, and I think some of us, this might be one that we're familiar with, and there's a lot of times that we get requests to sing In the Garden, but so often that's such a favorite for special music that we kind of don't want to sing it, the same day. So we're going to take an opportunity to sing this song, and I would ask you to think of this moment, because since it's so popular and requested so often that we sing 314 In the Garden, that we think about that moment. Why is it so important to us? Why is this song so special? Is it about the words? Is it a memory? Is it a melody? What about this song makes it special and memorable to you? And I would ask you that we would share that with each other and other people outside of here, because there's such a power to music. So let's take an opportunity to sing together this great song of our faith and expression, 314 In the Garden. Amen. What a great song and expression of our faith. In this opportunity next, it's not printed up in here, but there's an opportunity for us to think about, and it's been brought up in our prayer request. I'm going to ask Suzanne to come up today, and as she's making her way up, it doesn't take much awareness, or if you're not big on keeping up with the news, to understand that we have quite an opportunity as the church, both in prayer and in support of the community in Texas. Can you tell us a little bit about what the United Methodist Church is doing and how we can be a part of that?
Good morning. In reference to Bobby and her brother, and there is so much help needed in Texas. Our church, the United Methodist Church, has an organization called United Methodist Committee on Relief. This organization has training for people to go into circumstances like this with medical help, with volunteers that work on houses. Little children need warm blankets and a pillow to sleep in instead of a gymnasium floor. There's so many ways that they need help, and as our family of United Methodists, we are able to help them through donations through the United Methodist Committee on Relief. The thing that I like most about this organization is that when you give $2, you give $2 to the fund. There is no administration cost. That is not what this organization is about. It is strictly for the help of people in need. Next week, I'd like to present maybe a project that we could do, not only with our gifts of money and prayers, that we could maybe, they're doing a little pail of hope, so to speak. And in that pail, they'll be putting plastic gloves, kitchen gloves, they'll be putting air fresheners, sponges, all sorts of things, and I'll prepare a list so we'll know what we can donate if we'd like to just put something physical in a gift to them. But if we want to give to our fellow Methodist people, we can do that by sending a check, and this is going to be very easy, no complicated addresses to remember. Give it to the church, our church. Our church will designate that particular money and earmark it for Hurricane Harvey or Texas flood relief. Just earmark it so that the church knows that amount of money goes specifically for our friends and Christians in Texas. So you can make your checks payable to the Sandusky United Methodist Church. Just earmark it for that particular cause. If you'd like to put a donation in the offering plate, that's fine too. Any way you want to do it. If you want to mail something to the church, that would be fine too. So we can not only give our donations, our monetary donations, but along with our prayers and our hopes, we can maybe fill a couple of buckets of hope for these people. Thank you.
And Suzanne, if people wanted to just do the greenback currency like you have in your hand, there's envelopes in the pews that they would just go ahead and mark that as similar on there so we'd be able to identify that together. So
just identify so that the church knows exactly what this to go for.
Right, and you did a great job of explaining that, you know, and I think Karen said it last week, the great part about UMCOR is that our apportionment dollars, this is a great opportunity to celebrate what we do, because our apportionment dollars is part of the way that we help fund some of the administration there, so that way when we do give donations, all of that goes to the project at hand. And it's also worth noting there, dear friends, because of some of those opportunities for apportionment, that we live in that connection that we have as United Methodist Church, that we're not waiting until we take up these donations to respond in Texas. We're already there. Okay, and you might not notice that and see that, but I'm getting the email update, so I know, but, you know, here's something else to think about. We don't always broadcast that we're there, not because we don't want you to know, but you know what? If we're going to pay for a radio spot or an ad, that's money that could be used to help people. Do you know what I mean? Instead of using it for those type of costs. So we're already there, and this is an opportunity not only to continue to help, but when we do those through apportionments, and sometimes we even have some of you, this isn't old news, because some of you give to UMCOR on a regular basis. Because of that generosity, because of that living into the connection, we can already respond when there's a need and not wait for the call of the church. We're already responding to that call before the need is even before us. So please take some thoughts and think about that. And Suzanne, but before I let you go, it's one of these moments when we thought about we are going to have a moment of prayer, but we've kind of already had that, you know, for the Texas and Hurricane Harvey victims. But let's think about this weekend. How many of us are going to enjoy a place to gather with our friends and family? How many of us are probably going to have maybe some of that Tupperware full of some extras because of our abundance? There's some people that are not going to be meeting with family and friends because they don't have a place to meet. They're not going to have an abundance of groceries because they don't have electricity, or they don't know if they're going to have a meal tomorrow and I'll be enjoying leftover bratwurst. Can we just see that when we look at the God of abundance, that there are some people who aren't enjoying the simple things that we're probably might be taking for granted a little bit this week? Can we just have them, the effort that UMCOR is doing there in Texas, be fresh on our hearts and remind us that we have an abundant God, and out of that abundance, we can give to those who don't have some of those needs. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. On this opportunity, do we have any young kids with us today? I think we do have a few. Do we have some young kids that would like to come up for children's time today? And June, I promise I'll move that right back over here. It looks like it was about 3 foot length over, so I can measure that out. Let's go ahead and have the kids come up. We will have them come forward today. And let me see. All right. Oh, I'll go around. I took too long, and that's what I get. Well, I got to get used to it. Anybody see me go to sit down? I don't have a pocket on my shirt today, so I sat down. I thought, gal, I didn't want to crush the wireless microphone piece in the back. So, Bert, it's okay. I'm trying not to hit it, so we do that kind of thing. Well, guys, I have a tool here. It's kind of essential. Have any of you ever seen this before? Have you guys ever seen this before? Right? Yeah? Yeah? Who can tell me what this is?
A measure tape.
A measure tape? Well, what are we supposed to do with it? You measure things like what? What?
Trust me.
So we pull it out like this, right? It's got all these numbers on it. So what do we do with the numbers that we have? You make people tall? Yeah, I wish it was that simple. Because I wish I would have made it a little bit taller, huh? A couple more inches anyway. So what happens when we find how long it was? Because look at what happens if I let go. Whoa. Good thing my finger wasn't in there. Does anybody know how we get that to stay out here so we can measure? Does anybody know what to do? You know what to do. Come show me what to do. Put that lever down. Yeah. You can tell this is a well-used one, right? Because the lever's kind of sticky. All right, let's see, does that work? I think you might have got it. Yeah. So this is how we would measure something, and we would know exactly how big and tall it is, right? I got to ask you guys a question, though. Before we go on with the lesson, because it sticks out like this, has any of you guys ever seen Pirates movies? You ever go like this with it? No, you don't want to do that. No, don't do that. That's not what it's for. No. This is how we can measure how far something is, or we can measure things when we're working on projects, so we always know how big and tall it is, right? Well, do you know that God doesn't give us a tape measure to measure our hearts and how we treat people, but you know, when we listen to Jesus' words in Scripture, whether it's our Sunday school teachers, or it's our parents, or another adult, or maybe even another kid in our lives that tell us and remind us what Jesus says, you know, that's a way that we can kind of measure our hearts, right? When we measure what Jesus says, when Jesus says to be kind to other people, right, to show them love and treat them how you would want to be treated, right, and respect our parents and those that take care of us, those are the kind of things that help measure our hearts, right? So it's not like this that we would measure all our cool stuff and sometimes play pirates with, but we would sometimes have to listen to what we're being taught and how we can be better disciples and friends of Jesus. Isn't that pretty neat that we have stuff to measure stuff in the world that we need to know and how tall we get, but we also have Scripture that tells us what Jesus' words are that can help us measure what kind of people we want to be and how we want to honor Jesus with our lives. That's pretty neat, right? That's good stuff. Can we go ahead and get in our prayer positions and pray for the continued way that the Lord would reveal to us how we can grow our hearts? Dear Jesus, thank you for... how about I say it and then you guys say it after me, okay? You caught me, okay? All right. Dear Jesus, thank you for tape measures. And thank you for your words of Scripture that open up our hearts to show love and to be more like you. Jesus, guide our steps and help our learning. Bless mom and dad and those gathered here. Amen. All right, now who's helping out with children's activities today? You guys? There isn't any. Well, that would mean that nobody's helping out, so I apologize. I didn't look at the schedule, so this is not rehearsed, ladies and gentlemen, or these kind of things wouldn't happen. I tell you what, why don't you go ahead and stand up and go ahead and sit with those who you love. If you came with them, great. If you'd like to sit with somebody else, I'm giving you permission that we can do that. No assigned seats. So, and let me see. We had three, right? So we walk it off here, and then there you go there. Okay, great. Such a great time with our kids. And then, of course, there won't be that awkward moment because unless school's canceled, we'll be starting our Sunday school campaign next week. So that'll be great to look forward to. Could we go ahead and have this opportunity to have Karen? Nope. That's not it. I got a couple different things up here. This is a special music time. Could I have the Potters come up today for sharing with us the special music? And would you share with us a little bit why you picked the song that you sang today? All right. We love moments that start off with, well.
I think I finally got my nerves back. We got almost here and forgot the music. But it's one of those songs that I'm quite sure that some of you know anyway. It's an old song that we've sung for a long time. Maybe you'll know. I keep picking songs that Pastor doesn't know already. But anyway, we're going to do Farther Along.
Why we should lead us on a daily
pretty good for forgetting the music and then trying to put that together. Would anybody agree if we didn't hear that story, you probably wouldn't think that there was a rush to get things together there today? We're thankful for that message and for you both singing together today. At this opportunity, as the Potters are finding their seats, let's go ahead and go into an opportunity for prayer here. And as we get done saying the prayer together, oh, actually, we have a call to prayer, don't we? We need to sing that to prepare ourselves for prayer. Tina looks at me and says, yes, we need to do this. So let's do More Precious Than Silver, number 2065. Please enter that moment of prayer together today, and we'll end this time by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Again, God, we come to you today, knowing that we are full and we are faithful of your many abundant blessings. Lord, and we think of those, that richness and abundant blessing, and we think of those who weigh on our hearts and situations that concern us. And Lord, we would just ask that you know the words and the conditions and the people and the faces, the circumstance that are on our hearts, Lord. We know that you know them all, and you take very seriously when our hearts cry out to you in these needs. And Lord, we would just ask for the strength and encouragement and hope that when we place these things in your capable hands, that you have this, that you are already at work, and it's simply us being faithful and obedient to what prayer is and the power of it. Lord, we would also ask that when prayer is answered, you would put on our hearts an opportunity and a voice to share with others in this world and even ourselves how truly thankful we are for the answer to prayer. Lord, in this moment, in these times, we pray not only individually for ourselves, but the many desires and people of this church and the great ways in which we can impact this community. Lord, you know the faces and you know the needs. Please lay them before us so we may be your hands and feet. As we have pondered as disciples to Christ, how it is exactly that we are to pray, what things are supposed to happen, and how is it supposed to be done? And we have said together as many times become our tradition to say the Lord's Prayer together. So we say these words together as one body and one voice, as Jesus led us in Scripture. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This opportunity, I'd like to ask Karen to come up today and share with us. We heard a little bit about the power of music and things like that from Linda last week, and that went alongside with the choir coming back for us in the fall. But we have another opportunity for something coming up, and I believe we had an article in the newsletter about it, did we? Do we have an article?
Well, I haven't seen the newsletter.
I haven't seen the newsletter yet. Well, the newsletter was delivered digitally, as well as we do have hard copies in the back. And we do, here, let me, I did it for Bobby, so let me do it for you.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the spot that Karen is talking about that she's going to be looking for. It's called, Hey, They're Playing My Song. And this is what you're going to be talking about, right? So I'm going to slide over here and let you share with us a little bit about the opportunities we have with music in the life of our congregation.
Okay. I think probably all of you know the song or have heard it. It is Well With My Soul. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Where that came from, I don't know if anybody knows. I've known this story for a long time. Horatio Spafford wrote it, but he lost his only son to scarlet fever. And then several years later, he put his wife and daughters on a boat to go overseas, and then he was going to catch up with them. Bad storm came up, and the boat sank, and he lost his wife and daughters. He went out to the site where that happened, and he was praying to God, and that's when the words came to him, "It is well with my soul." That was in the 1800s, and we sing it today. It's a beautiful story behind the song. Now, I don't think we're all going to go write a song this afternoon, but we all have songs that we like. We have songs that pop into our mind time to time during the day or during the week. Just a tune. Probably the first song anybody ever learns in church is Jesus Loves Me and Silent Night. Those are about the two all-time favorites. Anyway, what we want to do is combine all of the reasons we like the songs. I just so happen to have front and back page telling us what we're going to do. You know, there's many reasons we love music. It can make us happy. It can make us a little sentimental. It reminds us of our childhood. It brings back a pleasant memory. Maybe it's helped us when we've been with somebody when they're birthing into heaven. Whatever the reason, you know, like when you hear How Great Thou Art, you know, what's the inspiration that gives you to love that song? This is what we want to know. We're going to take all of these compilations and put them in a little, we're going to publish it for all the church members. So the front tells about it, and the back says, my name and my favorite song is, and let us know why. Everybody, if there's five in your family, we'd like five people to say, this is my favorite song. You know, Grady, you're what, eight, nine? You know, what is like your favorite song? Why do you like that song? These are the things we want to know. It'll be interesting, a little insightful, and just a lot of fun. There's these that will be at the back of the church. Oh, and we have a little box to put them in. Isn't that cute? So you can just fold it up in any way and stick it in there, and then we'll get back with you on all the results. If anybody has somebody who can't get out, please let me know, and we will make sure that we get one of these to them so we can know what they're doing too. So thankful. Thank you. I hope for a whole bunch of like 100,000% participation. That's a lot.
Thank you. Sue, 100,000, is that an accurate percentage of participation? But we do have, and you'll also notice, maybe to help you out in the newsletter, is there's a dotted line that indicates this is where you would cut or tear if you'd like to bring that with you, or if you know, you have a smaller section there, you can drop that in the offering envelope. So we'd love to hear from that. It's, again, kind of a way to share not just our stories, but our love for music. And I think it's a great opportunity to share and why those things mean so much. And, of course, as she said, there's going to be a keepsake for that. It'll be a great thing. We take so much love and joy in what we do for our Lenten devotionals. This is another way to kind of express, and Karen's right, to have some insight into why those things are special for us a little bit. So that'd be a great opportunity. Today, we're going to take a look briefly in Scripture from the Gospel according to Matthew, and it's from chapter 9. And there's only three verses here, but what I'd like to introduce before we read the three verses together and go over where we're headed for the message, I'd also like you to earmark where we're at, because the next section after that is very important and leads us into why things were happening the way they were. So in this moment, we're going to take a look at the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, and it's going to be verse 35 through 38. Let me get to verse 35. The workers are few. And those of us might have heard this scripture before, but I would ask that we think about, there's a reason why it's called the living word, because we might have some different insight. We have something else maybe going on in life that will help inform us, or maybe some relationships that might shed some light on these verses that maybe were never before, or just reinforce what we already know. Verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, and he taught in their synagogues. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom and was healing every disease and sickness before him. Verse 36, and when he saw the crowds that gathered, he had compassion on them, because they were like harassed and they were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And finally, in verse 37, then he said to his disciples as a response to this compassion, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest and workers' field. I would ask us to take a look at that, because if you open up your scripture and realize that's the end of chapter 9, it's worth noting that chapter 10 starts right out, and that Jesus, it says that Jesus was doing these things. Remember, this is early in his ministry. So Jesus was doing this work. He started, you know, this ministry, this walking ministry that he had. But it's so important, because when he had compassion on them for the crowds that were gathering, right? He was taking his ministry on the road, and he was his own circuit rider. And when he saw the vast amount of people who weren't getting it, the vast amount of people who were hurting and he wouldn't be able to reach alone, as we see in chapter 10. I would encourage you to take a look at that throughout this week or today. Jesus then empowers the 12, the disciples, because there were so many people, because of that vast number, we need more hands. We need more bodies. We need more disciples with this message to reach those crowds. Now today, it's interesting because we celebrate Labor Day this weekend, right? And it's I don't have the history lesson, and we've given it before, but it's the opportunity that we recognize in the United States that we work pretty hard. And there's a time that we acknowledge some of that effort that's put forth and celebrate what that means. And it's interesting because on Sunday, we gather together, and of course is studying our scripture and realizing that even in creation, God took a rest, so we take the Sabbath day here today. But there's a day coming on Monday that's sort of like another Sabbath day. And we've gone to a place in the country that it's not just caregivers, round-the-clock caregivers, unfortunately, that don't get a chance to celebrate Labor Day. There's a lot of people that are going to be working tomorrow that didn't always used to. And so I would ask, if you know anybody in life that's working tomorrow, could you just offer them a word of encouragement to just say that it still is pretty neat that we celebrate Labor Day, but enough people don't get it off to celebrate that rest as they once did. And so it's important that we recognize as a country that for us working hard for these doing these things, that we take a step back on this day and celebrate all the blessings that we receive from having work, you know, having things to do. And then we also take a rest in that moment and share why we're even doing these things. Some of us love what we do, of course, but it is still something that we have to sacrifice for, right? There's a cost, and some of it's not just cost of living. There's something that it always costs us. There's some sacrifice we always make to make a living. And there's a reason why we do that. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about a different kind of labor. And I wanted to share this with you. And I hope you'll know that that's why things are dressed up the way they are today. That if there is a project that you are going to want to do around the house, this is a handy accessory to have. Now, this is unlike any belt that I own. This is not mine. Right? And it's, one, you can tell this is not going to fit around my waist. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff, and it's mismatched. And I think we try our best to have a matching set, but I think anybody that's ever fixed anything, you usually don't have stuff that matches. Like, this was bought before I was born, and this is still a nice yellow. And just, you know, it's a great thing here. And it's interesting because you get all this stuff in here. So when we're looking for a project, a labor, it would be pretty frequent to see something like this to make sure you have every tool to get the job done, right? To make sure that you have it. I have another essential tool, essential help that will belong in this tool bag this tool belt if I ever have one. And that is these. This is my pack of Band-Aids because anybody that knows me knows I don't have the first clue what to do with this thing. There's a lot of shiny, pointy, hard things there that are waiting to get my digits or my tootsies and things like that. And I asked my friend Bob, because he's been known to help me through some things, and sometimes he even supervises me. He says, Matt, turn the hammer around. It's the other end you got to use. And so when I asked him, could you bring your tool belt? Because I just bring Scarlett's and I didn't have one. So then we had a great response when I said, I'm probably going to bring some Band-Aids. So his wife, behind every good man is usually a woman, so she brought me an entire first aid kit for this demonstration, saying that you don't need more than just a pack of Band-Aids. You need this entire kit if you're going to go at a project alone. So there's gauze in here and a lot of special things, so in case I really get going. And the reason we share a little bit of a laugh and some care there is because, you know, when you're learning a first aid kit and Band-Aids, you really need those, don't you? I mean, when you're first learning, some of our hardest lessons are the ones that cause us some pain, aren't they? And they stick with us a little bit, right? I wonder if any of us might have even had those come-to-Jesus moments when we did strike ourselves with a tool and had a quick talk with the Lord about how things were going. And I say this because this simple scripture reminds us there is so much work to be done in the life of the kingdom. And it's not just a household project. It's an eternity project, right? We know the good news of Scripture brings life to us. And it's an opportunity where I think to myself, and maybe you've said this or you've heard this, you know, we all have such unique gifts. We are better as a people of faith, as a church, when we work together, when we're all working towards the same things, when we're all kingdom building. We're so much better together than on our own. We're made up of individuals who are uniquely gifted that may know how to use some of these things. Some of us might just hold it out here hoping somebody will pick that up. You know, there probably became a time when our tool belts were bigger and they went all the way around our waist. There's pockets all over. I've seen some of these things that maybe we used a big tool belt like that, but as we've gotten older and maybe our feet aches or we have back pains and it's difficult for us to do some of the things we used to, that maybe we have a smaller tool belt, right? Or maybe we have someone else carry those things because we can't do the work exactly how we used to be able to do it in our lives. Well, dear friends, just like the church, there are some times when you can get after the little ones, and there are some other times when I get tired just looking at them, right? But we still love them. In those moments when sometimes we understand that we've kind of taken a season and we've led and done something, or maybe we've led a Bible study before, just all the things that we do in the life of the church, that if we've already had kind of our tenure punched, right? We've already done our time. Do you know that that doesn't necessarily mean that your work for the church is done, whether it's little C here where we're gathered or big C church around the world? Because even though some of you may recognize the foreign objects in this belt, you know, they can be used for different things. I think we've well established that this thing is a hammer, right? Yeah. Have you ever seen The Little Mermaid? And the seagull kind of tells you what he thinks this stuff's for. That's probably what's happening in my world. I'll make something up and tell you what I could use this for. But see, in someone's hands that owns this belt, wow, they could probably make really good use of this, and it looks like they have. Mine's still pretty shiny because when I use mine, I just use it to prop the screen door open when I'm carrying stuff in the house. It's the truth, but I'll tell you this. You know, if we both paid $10 for this hammer, would you agree that even though we're using it for different purposes, we're still getting worth out of this hammer, aren't we? Because my needs are being met with this object holding up the door. Because at that moment in my life, I need the door open to get accomplished the things that are before me. Now, in someone else's hands, there's something you do with a nail at the other end of this, and then another one you do at the other end. And then there's a rubber mallet that, like, covers this thing, because I've destroyed many things by not having a cover on it, you know, and it's like the furniture's marked with this, you know, dent on it. And I say that just because, again, you all have uses for this in your life. You can all do different and wonderful things, sometimes the same things. Have you ever used a tool and you had someone, you're pretty confident that you know what to do with it, and you've had someone that you love and respect tell you you're doing it wrong? You ever had that with a tool? Are we really doing it wrong or just different? There's a star knife that's in here. It's got some different angle and points to it, and you can use this differently. But you know, can this accomplish a different task than something that looks like this short spear here? Right? I mean, they look pretty similar, and I've run into different uses for these things, but see how similar they are, but they're just a little bit different. And it's that little bit of difference that makes them useful. Because, you know, there are times when I've been without my star knife, and that's what the hole looks like. Have you ever had to use one of the short spears to fill a star knife hole? You can do it, but it takes a long time. You know what I mean? You can get it done, but it takes a long time. And I say that because how much would we recognize our use for a different tool? How much would we recognize that we need each other in the life of the church to do certain things? Because there are certain ones of you that have different skill sets than I do and that we do. And, you know, sometimes there comes a time to pass these things on. How many of you ever inherited tools in a tool belt from somebody that doesn't have use for them, or maybe had a garage full of treasures they didn't know about, you know, and we inherit some of those things? So even maybe sometimes when it's time for us to pass on our tools and gifts and responsibilities for the church, that we do that in an honoring way so we just don't happen upon them, but we're gifted with them, right? And I can say, this star knife is better in your hands than in my hands. Give it back then. This star knife is better. Amen for truth, right? Are you like that? But you know, Scripture reminds us here that Jesus says there is way more that needs to be done in this world than we could ever accomplish. That no matter how much we send each other out into this world, right, that we build each other up as disciples in this world, it's still not going to be enough. If we even take a small group, we each and every one of us, we take 10 people, this community, would you understand that we still wouldn't fill the school gymnasium if each one of us took along 10 people and discipled them individually 3 days a week? Do you know there would still be near a whole school that is full of kids that wouldn't have part of that group? Does that make sense? And that's just the school. That's let alone all of our communities and neighbors. No matter how much we ever do, it is good work, but it's never enough. Jesus says there's compassion on all the people who have yet to hear this good news, all the people who need some work done in their lives, all the people who might be incapable of doing some of that work for themselves, so they need to buy pizza for someone to come over and do the work for them at their house and to encourage them. Dear friends, I say as a church, when we get together for next week, it's going to be our kickoff to Sunday school, that we would take a look and understand it's sort of a marking of us starting off in the fall again, isn't it? It's sort of like the Christian New Year, isn't it? For every church, we kind of start back over and we pick up the pieces from some things we might have let go or some things that didn't meet or some ministries that might have taken a break because, you know, we all travel so much in the summer. We get back to work. So Labor Day marks the day that we take off sort of as a country, right? We try to and honor the work that needs to be done. But dear friends in the church, when there's not a paycheck at the end of our effort, when there might not even be recognizing at the end of that, the work that we do in the life of the church, it has eternity at stake. Lives impacted, or maybe not lives changed at all, if we don't grab our own tool belt and decide, how do we want to go to work in this community? And you know, if we're not trained up from Scripture. If we don't have people to show us how to use the short spears, we're not going to be prepared at all when those crowds come. And we wonder, how did the crowds get so big that don't know the truth of the gospel? It's because they didn't hear when they were walking by themselves. It's because when they were walking two or three by each other, no one still shared the gospel with them. Dear friends, as we move on in the month of September, we're going to learn a little bit about what it's like to intentionally share our faith, to intentionally walk with our spiritual tool belt and be prepared to look for the cracks and the leaks. If you have ever been in a store, can I have that back, please? Thank you. I got to return it. Yeah, okay. If we've ever been, and I use the store because the store is a great example, because you'll see almost everybody, because we all got to buy something at some time. Most of the time recently, whenever I have to go to the store, I have to plan around having a 4.5-year-old with me. So you can see me doing one of these. You can see me doing one of these. Or you can see me down the aisle doing one of these. Stop, put it down. Stop, get in the car. Do that kind of thing. But when I don't do that, when I have this moment of solace and I can go get something from the store without those kind of things, I appreciate those times, but when that's not happening, for instance, this week, I had about 45 minutes to an hour in the store. I had to get some things done, and I thought, since we were doing this message today, I wanted to try something. It didn't take long before you saw people that were clearly distressed. You saw people that were running around the store and just didn't know what was going on. You offered to help, and they couldn't even articulate what they needed help with, right? Because there was something going on. You can see people that are nervous. Have you ever seen people in the speedy checkout line that's supposed to be fast and you're just kind of looking around and what's happening here, you know, and kind of where is anybody to help you? You ever seen those moments before, though? You can't find anybody to help you at this moment. And if it's a dairy product, you know where it's at, so just take a second. You know, for the time you hunt down a worker, you're going to find the thing, right? It's just these moments that you can see that, do you ever wonder what brings people into those common places? Do you know that somebody might be so frantic? And this is a true story because we had an opportunity to share. Somebody was so frantic because their aunt was in hospice and they were getting spelled for 90 minutes. That means they were getting a bit of reprieve from staying at this home, and they had to hurry up and get a couple of things because their family needed groceries. What an opportunity that presented itself. No, I know that's kind of a dramatic example, but do you know what kind of life that brings? That when somebody has to wait in line anyway, and you get to talk about what type of sacrifice that is, you get to pray with them for a moment, and all of a sudden, we just don't know sometimes why things act the way they act in those moments when we can see and smell, right, the alcohol smell on somebody, right? We can just tell sometimes that they've been into some things. Maybe they've done more than just celebrate or have a glass of wine after dinner. Are we disgusted with that? Or is our first thought, oh my goodness, I need to know more about this story. What led to this? What transpired in this? Is there anything that we can do? Dear friends, I say these moments because I want to plant these seeds. In September, we'll be taking a look at how we can be more prepared and looking for these things, because Jesus was going about doing the work. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was putting on miles, right? He had to get new sandals, those kind of things. He was doing it. But then he saw all the people that still weren't getting reached. He saw all the need that was there. And he said, we have got to do more. He told the disciples, no longer can you stand by and let others do the work. There are too many. There are too many that I love. There are too many that I am going to die for. That he calls out the 12. He calls out us as a church and says, we need to do more work together. We take our weekly rest on the Sabbath. But make no mistake, friends, there is no holiday that we get to take off from doing the work of the church, for being a disciple of Christ. And I would just ask in these moments, and I'm going to ask this for the entire month of September as we work further and further through, think about those moments. Think about those people in our lives. Let those faces, let those stories lose us some sleep. Put those faces and those stories on our minds. Let it make us uncomfortable. Because Jesus saw all the people that were lost and said they need to hear the words of life. Life. The story, the song, the words of life manifests itself at the beginning of every month. At the beginning of every month, as best we can, we try to celebrate communion. The Eucharist table is open. And even in our Wesleyan heritage, John Wesley said, take of the elements as often as you get together. And does it seem like we just got done doing this? Do any of you feel the same way that the first of August, the first Sunday of August, seemed like it was just here? Weren't we just doing communion? Dear friends, that's a good thing. Because just as all things in our life, when we tell the story, our story, when we share our heritage, it should feel like we just got done doing this, because then it's not far from our minds. Then it's not far from our dedications. And in these moments, we also must understand that when the table is open for us, it is open for one and it's open for all. And because it's fresh from our mind, because it's routine for us, because it hasn't been that long since we took of the table, we will never forget, and we have an opportunity to rededicate ourselves. To rededicate ourselves to being thankful for Christ for all the blessings that we can't possibly name. To rededicate ourselves to take a chance and understand that God's faithfulness will never return to us a void, that we can trust Him with the unknown. Yeah, but what? Yeah, but what? Yeah, but what? God is faithful all the time. God shows us abundant blessing that's more than we ever could have seen, but it has to start with us trusting Him. My dear friends, the table that we are about to open is about trust and commitment to the one who trusted that his sacrifice would never be made in vain. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, with his precious few moments of purpose before he was arrested, Jesus sat before his intimate friends, the ones that became like family to him, and he said, "You are going to take upon the ministry of this world." And he asked for God's blessing upon the bread. And when the bread was received, he broke it in front of his disciples. And he said, "Each and every time you take and eat of this, remember me. Remember my sacrifice, my broken body that was laid before you." It's not going to be reminding you of who we were, of God's faithful promises in the past to his chosen people. It's about how this bread of life will sustain you every single day. That generations will be blessed and be full because of this bread that brings life. Would you remember Christ's sacrifices each and every time we take of this bread? Jesus then took the cup of suffering, and he offered it up for Father's blessing. And when God had blessed the cup, he then passed it to each of the disciples and said, "This is not a reminder of what God has done in the past. It's about what God is doing now in our lives and what we'll promise to continue to do forward." When we talk about being stained with the blood, it means that we are identifiable as a Lamb of God, that we are stained by His covenant and promise. Jesus says, "This is my blood that is poured out and spilt for you. So it will cover you and all your generations until the end of days. It will always be enough, and it always mark you as mine." When we take of this cup, would we rededicate ourselves, taking this mark that it stains our hearts and our souls, that we would be recognizable to Christ as His servant in this world. Could I ask our communion stewards to come up that are helping today? And as our two sets of communion stewards are coming up forward, I would ask us to remember that in the United Methodist Church, we have an open table. That means there isn't a specific credo that you have to memorize. There isn't a membership form that you have to fill out. There isn't some special sequence you have to go through. But here, in the United Methodist Church, we have an open table, which means if you would like to celebrate your recommitment and understanding and trust and sacrifice of Christ in your life, I'll have you guys go ahead and take your stations. The table is open to you. For whatever reason, whatever's out there, come with holy hands, whatever might be distracting us, whatever might come before us, to lay it down up here and take of the elements. Now, the table is open when the ushers dismiss you. If you can't make it up, then please let us know, and we will bring the elements to you. Let nothing stand between you and the table that God has opened to people of all nations, ages, and races for all of us here today. The table is now open. Ushers, if you would. Well, before we ask the ushers to come forward, I know that we have another opportunity for Junior going to sing us through so we can be better prepared for when we're taking our tithes and our offering. And this is a song that we just recently sang, right? This is going to be... We were supposed to, but we didn't. So this is why we're doing it today, right? To get it in. So we ask our ushers to come forward as we sing this together. So you guys come on forward and she'll sing this special music for us when we take up our tithes and our offering.
Thanks, guys.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am weak, I am worn, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, hold me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord.
O God of infinite blessing and abundance, we thank you for this opportunity to give back of the blessings we've already received, Lord. And we just ask that you would allow us the wisdom to be good stewards of these resources, and we know that they will meet the needs that you have before us for this life and our church. Lord, would you be glorified in all that we do through them? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, for brevity, we'll go ahead and not sing the closing hymn. Let me go ahead and finish off to our benediction, and then we'll go to our sending song, okay? Dear friends, we had a few moments of laughter and jest, but to understand that we don't get a break from kingdom work. Jesus worked, would you agree, until that very moment, and then beyond the grave, worked in us still, and even today is at work in our lives. That's the Savior that we serve. That's the nonstop, not taking a holiday off, Jesus that we serve. Could we go forward and look for the people that Jesus had compassion on in Scripture, the ones that are lost, the ones that don't have the hope that we have, and will we be willing to show them Jesus? Could we go forward today for the good work that's before us, and when we know that we are never alone, we go in the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as God will be with us till we meet again.